I'm not ready. Hi, this is Danny Gould, and you're listening to New Dissident Radio, where we've finally gotten the video out of audio video.
I'm ready now.
Do you guys want anything to drink?
I'm doing the opening! Hello, and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hello.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from that place you tell people you know it's just kind of a regular bar. And you just keep telling yourself that. You can find links to our guests' website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email addresses at ardentatheist.com. If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Heather during the show, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist, like our page, and join in. We might use your statements in the live broadcast, so join Heather there now. And please go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and write a review. Help us get in the top 10, fuckers. We only have a couple of rules here on the show. Rule number one is a stoned hippie chick I met at Burning Man once told me. You can plug anything you want, as long as you make it feel natural. And rule number two, if you're a listener who has ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you. You. Our guests in the studio today, Matt Kirshen, Steve Oakes, and Dan Dominguez. You know these folks from showbiz. Thanks for being here, guys.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for overpronouncing my last name like that.
Dan or Daniel?
It's actually just the word Ariba and a picture of Speedy Gonzales.
How do you say your name?
It's the first name is just Daniel, and the last name is Dominguez!
I don't think that's quite right.
Did they just get excited on the birth certificate and write it in bigger letters?
They just cross out my name and then just have Telemundo playing instead.
Paul Gilmartin was booked to do the show and had to drop out at the last minute. I think he was probably on a bender. But I was sitting in the living room today, and Matt Kirshen says, "You know, Dan Dominguez is an atheist and a funny cat." And I didn't use
the word cat.
I
probably gato? Said person
funny
guy.
Gato?
What he said was Dan Dominguez is a cat like atheist.
I love kitties. Thanks,
I was Heather. Paraphrasing Dick. Yeah. And I knew of you because Troy Conrad said he'd worked with you.
He knows how talented and funny I am.
Right. And he said I should book you, and so we called and he said, "Yeah, I have no life and a Hulk t-shirt," and he came in and here he is.
That is also, I would call that a paraphrase.
Yeah, that's a paraphrase.
I would call that a paraphrase.
I was saying my own words.
I know, because I
what have, did I mean to say?
you said I have no life and a Hulk t-shirt.
Ah,
and I didn't
yes.
say that.
You
I
didn't say that.
What I said is I have plenty going on, but this one evening I'm free.
Right.
As I recall.
I got it completely wrong.
I don't know what you were thinking.
Right. I didn't realize I was quoting you even though I was. I'm the idiot in this scenario.
It's fine. It was a Spider-Woman t-shirt and not a Hulk t-shirt. It was just completely off.
So you did the No God. What was the name of the tour you did with Troy?
The Godless Heathens of Comedy.
How'd that go over?
Well, depending on the city we were in.
Right. Did you ever work, say, Oklahoma City?
The worst
yeah, right?
I've ever worked was a casino in a town just below Reno, Nevada.
Casino goers are judging you for not believing in God. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And it didn't go well.
I opened with a joke that I always used to do about evolution.
Do you want to formulate this and then get back to us?
Creationism. You got to say the word right, and it didn't go over, and the joke had always done very well, and so I was confusing, and so I blurted out, I was like, "Listen, who here believes in evolution?" And in a room full of, I don't know, something between 60 and 80 people, no one raised their hand.
Wow.
And then for the next 20 minutes, I did a couple jokes and then mostly yelled at them about gay marriage.
We atheists live in a bit of a bubble on the coast, don't we? I mean, it's really weird. And I
a
think
magical
everybody
bubble.
A magical bubble. No,
a
there's
bubble
no magic.
That didn't come from monkeys.
You're a very bad atheist.
You're making us sound gay, dude. They already hate us enough, bro.
And Steve Oakes, I don't know what you believe, actually.
I'm
not sure you're an atheist, are you?
Well, you know, I'm not even quite in. I believe in so little, I don't even qualify. That to me, atheist is already too much belief.
Yeah.
I consider myself an apathist. I don't know if there's a God. Nice. I don't care if there's a God. I just don't care.
Yeah. What did Blaine Kopach say? He's an asterisk.
But the guy from the cartoon?
Blaine Kopach?
No, asterisk.
Oh, no, I don't know. I think it's a word joke. And
just the little French guy with the mustache?
I studied for 13 minutes before I figured out what he really meant.
Okay.
Yeah. So, everybody, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And Steve, you're sitting there like a bump on a log before I see. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Matt Kirshen, you've been on the show 3 times now as of today.
I have. That is true.
It's incredible.
It's because I stay on your couch when I'm in L.A.
Right. How long are you in L.A. for?
I'm a friend of the show to the point of crashing at the show's house.
Well, I see.
That explains the pajamas.
I see it the other way. I see it the other way around. If you're going to crash on my couch, you got to be one of my guests. You're paying me back.
There we go.
If you're a guest, you're a guest.
Yep.
You're a guest all the way.
Exactly.
I just filled in for Paul.
Guest.
Yeah, you're going to sleep in his couch, man.
Yeah.
He made me look like Paul. He said, "Why can't you be more like Paul?" I didn't want to.
I'm going to have him over. So today I wanted to talk about, first of all, there are a lot of misnomers about atheists. In fact, I just smelled one come out of you there for a moment there.
What was that?
Mr. Oaks. Well, it's too much belief is a suggestion that...
I should have said too much work.
People think that, though. They actually believe that atheists are, and I've heard this many times, that we employ as much faith in science as we do, as the Christians employ faith in God, which is just...
Or belief rather than faith, because you don't have faith in science, because faith would indicate that there's no proof.
Well, they literally say this. This is how fucking ignorant they are.
Yeah, that's not
it's
a smart phrase.
Stupid.
It doesn't make sense. You can actually, if you say it to yourself, you'll actually have an argument in your own head.
Well, not the Christians. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. Part of the problem is you can't even have a good discussion sometimes with them, because what happens is you discover that they have completely different meanings for very fundamentally simple, basic words.
Right.
And so at the
end
of the
day. Don't forget the Bible babble.
Bible babble.
The Bible babble I always get from every Christian. Most Christians that just are Bible toting that say these really poetic spiritual things like the spirituality is within the ones who are in line with the...
You're quoting Jin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's all right. Pull him up.
I will.
Yeah, okay. I want to hear some of that. Okay. We have a wall of reason where people go and discuss. Heather will pose really, really relatively simple but philosophically important questions. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, these 5,000 fans of her and her music, many of which don't think like we do at all, and they're arguing really, really ardently for really stupid things.
Mm-hmm. I have faith in science every time I get into a teleportation machine. Or any time I let a scientist take me into his lab and dress me up in his science clothes.
Ah.
Yes, every time I defeat my negative universe evil twin in a duel.
Yeah. You wouldn't even start that fight if you didn't have some faith in science.
Oh, fuck no, because I use science to defeat him. I use the wiles of science. I think science. I like your distinction between faith and belief, because the thing that is valuable of science that's better than the other religions, science is not a religion, is that science admits to fallibility.
Right.
And right.
That's
exactly.
Pretty important for something that was made up by people.
The effort put into proving that we have faith. I spent a couple days arguing with a Christard on the wall one day, 1 week. I spent a couple days...
You say Christard, I say Christard.
Yeah. I spent hours, inordinate amount of hours, arguing with this complete moron who eventually was saying... He just kept going after this faith, 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 faith. Your faith. And finally, it got down to where he goes, "Did you do the science? Did you do any of those experiments? Yeah, well, you're taking them on faith. Because I didn't conduct the fucking experiment."
Right, right.
He believes that I'm accepting the evolutionary theories, which are not theories anymore.
I have no videotape of my synapses firing, but I know that when I think, I'm willing to extend myself into understanding that when I think they are.
Well, there are. You don't have to be right there. You don't have to have a camera into your ear to see synapses, because there are thousands upon thousands of books from a variety of sources who are all cross-referencing each other to show you the only thing that you have to look at as a Christian is a old fucking book that tells you to throw it at women when they menstruate. It's senseless.
I thought I was supposed to go dig a ditch and stay in there for a week.
You fucking better if you menstruate while I'm eating.
Every other woman gets to do just the book throwing, but you really make a mess.
The Bible, you're getting the Bible.
By the way, you can.
The
you
Bible
can.
Singled her out. Is that what you're saying, Matt?
Wait, this is a general description, but did they specify
heavy days, or did she have to do that when she's spotting? Or
have you guys never read the Bible chapter "Fuck Heather"?
Book of Fuck Heather.
It's good. It's long, but it's good.
Well, I'm gonna have to now. I could use some pointers.
It's a recipe book.
Another misnomer about atheism.
Next topic, please.
Another misnomer about atheism that I keep finding myself in just this horrific argument over is that so many atrocities apparently have been performed in the name of atheism. Pol Pot, Stalin, Heather, Hitler. They usually list Hitler first, which is just a lie. I mean, that's not even close to reality, on any measure. And when you hear it, you know that you're hearing apologist regurgitation from a church sermon. That's where you're getting this information, or from a website that's misleading people.
Well, it's the classic setting up two sides of an argument where there's only one side.
The old straw man thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's basically, I mean, there are atheists that have committed atrocities. That's true. There are atheists that have planned.
Whoa!
Hold on. That's
okay, go ahead. No, that's accurate.
You know,
it's about what's motivated.
Fine, but atheists have also planted community gardens. Atheists have also owned and loved puppies. It doesn't ever before 1960. Every human being on the planet committed atrocities all the time.
All the time. Well, I think what it gets down to is where the motivation comes from.
It has
the
nothing
argument,
to do.
The argument is that the Catholics they performed insane atrocities because they were instructed by the Bible and instructed by their religious leaders to do this.
Yes.
Well, by the way,
and because of their religion, nobody ever does any atrocity because they are an atheist. Not ever. Not ever.
I think that it mischaracterizes the Inquisition, et cetera, of these atrocities based on readings from the Bible, et cetera. I think that I think it gives them credit if you say that. The truth is, it was a manipulation of the masses.
Wait a minute, you're saying that the Bible? Do you still go by Steve-O? Can I do that?
You can call me.
Met Steve-O on the road probably 20 some years ago.
Yeah, before there wasn't a God.
Way before there wasn't a God. Yeah. That's absolutely true. And we've known each other for years. And I'm telling you, man. Have you read the Bible? It's chocked full of the horrors.
No. I'm not saying that they don't have a justification there if they choose to use it. I don't mean that. I'm saying their choice to use it is not motivated by religion. Their choice to use it is motivated by personal gain, and they happen to have a manual, if you will.
I believe
they do have the extra justification that if they're doing it in the name of religion, they have an absolute authority that they can refer to.
That's my point.
Yeah, and
it has nothing to do with their belief or not. And my guess would be that many of the cardinals and bishops that were performing torture and atrocity, and many of the people you just mentioned, or not the atheists, but people who base their atrocities on religion, are simply using it. Well, it's like our Christians right here in America, and when you have a conservative agenda that you choose to justify by the Bible, it has very little to do with belief or the Bible. It's just convenient, and it gives
you a
bully
pulpit.
It's
a get-out-of-argument free card.
It's a what?
Yeah, that's right.
Get out of argument free card.
Oh, get out of argument free card.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can just go, absolute authority.
They're not acting out of faith.
Well, let's talk about the woman who tried and failed to kill her children so that they wouldn't have to deal with the May 21st ending of the world. Do you know about this story?
No, I don't know this
particular
story.
And then tried to kill herself.
If she succeeded, they wouldn't have had to have dealt with her.
Which would have been
as a mum.
Yeah, you're finding the upside.
The ending of the world can be very personal.
But would that
every time?
Every time, so fucking great.
That's fucking beautiful.
Every time you, as an atheist, every time you bring these kinds of things up, these in the moment things that are very clearly motivated by this information.
Right.
The argument is she was crazy. She would have found a reason to do it, which is bullshit. I mean, I'm sorry. That's bullshit. You can't know that because she was crazy. I'll agree she was crazy.
Right.
You can't know that because she was crazy, had she not had this specific motivation, she would have found another motivation to do that. That's fucking fully made up.
No, I believe it can tweak, yeah.
It certainly can, but to like bring her up as an example, as a for instance, you really have to, there are so many different factors in what made that woman do what she did, and religion is but one potential either motivator or thing that brought her to be as crazy as she was.
Right.
Obviously, she was troubled, and who knows whether she would have offed her kids or not. But I think arguing that it was absolutely like had religion not existed, she would have not offed her kids. That's
not my argument.
Yeah,
my argument is very simply, and then you get pulled into this version of the argument whenever you have it. But my argument is, without religion, that woman would not have acted. Would not have acted on that information. She wouldn't have had that to do this with. That's my argument. I'm not saying she wouldn't have done something. I'm saying we have to be agnostic about whether or not she'd have done something. What we do know is that she did this thing for this specific reason.
That's true.
If you remove that reason, we know that this is a scientific fact.
She wouldn't have done it for that reason.
She wouldn't have done it for that reason.
Yes, right, agreed.
Right. That's my argument. Right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available in the iTunes store. Today's show is made possible in part by Milton Bradley, makers of the home version of Ardent Atheist. Every guest on our show will receive the home version of Ardent Atheist, which contains one genuine argument, one genuine joke, and one pretend deity, which you can take home and choose not to believe in, discuss, and even make fun of right in your own home. Not available in fine stores everywhere. We're talking to Matt Kirshen, Steve Oakes, and Dan Dominguez. I'm going to say that. Dan Dominguez.
Sounds like a fighter.
Sabado.
Sounds like a, sounds like a
Sabado.
So anyway, that's my argument. And every time you make it, you find yourself in this other argument that you're not stating. You're not, you know, it's more of the straw man bullshit.
Sure, but I think I think that Steve brought up a great point, that the underlying motivators, like you know, economic or the desire for power motivators,
right,
are really important. And then when you get into the what makes religion so problematic, it is, I think, less that it motivates people to do one thing or another than it's a great tool to manipulate people into doing what you want them to do.
Yeah. Sure.
Without that's showing all in what that's things right. they pick to go up against and not. Like, you know, the fact that gay marriage is persecuted, whereas people wearing different types of fabric in the same clothing getting married isn't. Yeah. Like, you know,
all of us should be, according to the Holy Bible.
By the way, I want to say I'm against clash marriage.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gotcha. Well, that's exactly my point. Like, I couldn't give a damn if two gay people get married. But when you see someone like the bride's wearing cotton and the groom's wearing like nylon, and then they get together, and the two things are just like, ugh.
Yeah, where do you draw the line?
Someone else comes in with wool? What?
Exactly.
I get sick of
when
kids
going to think.
You know what the worst thing for me is when two gays get married.
What's wrong with that?
No, I like it. I knew it.
What do you mean you like it?
I think it's great. I love it. I like when they're kissing and I think it's just super.
Are you trying to tell us something?
Faglicious.
I'm so faglicious. That's what I'm trying to.
Have you ever been to a gay wedding?
No, but I made out with a guy on a washing machine once.
That actually, in my country, that is a gay wedding.
I saw that video.
They don't like to be called fags, by the way.
No?
No, cock gobbler, I think, is the current acceptable phrase.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was a breed of bird.
No, cock gobbler.
Yes, guys.
And that's how bestiality began.
It is now cock enthusiast. You're outdated.
I thought it was connoisseur.
Cockassure.
Cockassure.
Maybe in jolly old England it's connoisseur. Here in America, an enthusiast.
Another misnomer that you get is that the atheistic position is to say that you know that there's no God.
Oh, well.
Steve
well,
Oakes?
Well, I don't believe there is one. Well, let me say this, and it's interesting because I'm not, I guess I'm probably not ardent. And if I were, I'd cross my legs.
That is the smartest joke that is going to be.
I know.
And it's a dick joke. Like, the smartest joke. Right.
No, I don't. You know, what was it? Socrates said, "I only know that I know nothing." I think that I would be. You know, one of the things I've said to my Christian friends. All right, I have no Christian friends, but I've said this to people that I don't know.
Some of my best friends are Christians.
Well, you can tell them this. That it's going to work, I think. But I've always said that, you know, if you want to see a miracle, put down the Bible and watch your hand, you know, and just see how it moves and understand that you're operating it.
You were on acid that time.
No, yeah. I mean it. No, I totally mean it, and
wait,
I'm on
Steve.
Acid now.
Steve,
yeah.
What if you have a shitty hand?
Cold.
I want to point out that Steve-O did the most intelligent and then least intelligent. One after another.
Does that qualify as a pun?
I think so.
I think so, sure. I think they both do, actually, believe it or not, on either side of the spectrum. Yeah.
A wonderful dictionary-level word and then a pun. Nice.
Exceptional.
So, but anyway, I don't purport to understand why my brain can move my fingers. That's sort of what I'm getting at. And I don't suggest that there is a man with a beard that thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if a brain could move a hand?
Right.
So I don't believe in that circumstance. Like, I don't believe in that theory. I think that's ridiculous. The idea of an omnipotent, intelligent being with a well-groomed beard. I assume it would be well-groomed.
And
he's God.
White.
Is it?
It's usually well-groomed.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures.
If it's not, he's just a homeless guy. he's my cousin Casey.
You don't know, you know? Like,
that would explain a lot.
It would,
maybe,
right?
Maybe God's a hoarder.
Cash order.
Maybe we're just in one giant shopping cart being slowly pushed through the universe.
This week on Heavenly Hoarders.
There's just a bunch of old shitty, like, torn-up cats and newspapers all around our planet. A bitch.
That's a shame. But he hits you with the cart and you're saved.
Oh, you're fine.
He never cleans up after me.
I don't want to go to heaven. Heaven's in God's dirty hoarder beard.
Where were you? What were you talking about?
I was just saying that there are things of science that some people can certainly understand. How those things came to being, I certainly can't understand and can't explain. And in my ignorance, I am guarded about trying to suggest that I have an understanding of issues greater than myself.
Yeah. Well, you're hinting at the possibility that there might be some – I'm going to word it in the way that I'm hearing it from you. You
sure,
correct
sure.
me if I get you wrong because I don't
sure.
want to misinterpret
I'm going to deny what I just said, whatever you say.
Oh, good. Yeah. So
I like him.
He's wonderful. I'm hearing you say that there might be some sort of unexplainable, almost understandable power or force at work,
and it might be electricity. It might be solar energy. It might be anything. But it's not my place to understand. I quite honestly, I'm looking at you, and you're a miracle.
I don't agree.
That's because you. Yeah, but he knows my past.
He's got a great watch.
Trust me, the fact that he's upright, he's a miracle.
I don't. I can't even fathom why we like to fill that gap because you're describing a gap of knowledge. Yeah. Is what you're describing.
Absolutely.
And I don't understand why we want to fill that gap with something that would have to be wildly more impossible to understand and comprehend.
Less likely based on the evidence, really.
Wildly less likely.
Well, the fact that we're having this conversation and sitting in a place is and that there are things around us is an indication that there is a conversation, a place, and things.
We're
so,
not.
So... Oh, shit.
I blew this fucking
Oh, man, that's deep.
But my point is, like, my sister is very, very bright, and she's into physics, and she's into...
I thought you said fisting for a minute there.
she was smart, Heather.
She is bright. She loves fisting.
You know what? We're not that close.
Wow.
But anyway...
In terms of levels, we are giving everybody whiplash right now.
But anyway, you know, there's the old saying, and forgive the use of the terminology, but there's the old saying that either the devil or God are in the details. Actually, both sayings are used. And in the notion that that God is in the details, well, the God, I think, described in that sentence is not the homeless bearded guy with
well,
the cats.
I mean, thankfully, thanks to science, we can change that saying to actually just the, you know, what's in the details is the details.
Yeah. No, you're and absolutely
that's all. Right. And that's okay. And no, and there's the probability is that that is all. Because I think what you're saying, and I find there to be some sort of a middle ground, or maybe you're saying what I'm about to say, but I feel like atheism is inherently scientific in that the point you brought up earlier about atheists, like in the misrepresentation of atheists is believing there is no God.
Faith that there's no God.
But atheists are scientists, and what they essentially
I would watch what you're saying there, because
well, not always.
That could be fighting words for some people.
Fair enough. Well,
you mean that atheists Why? Are scientists?
Yeah, atheists are scientists. Blah blah blah.
Well, I was just at the atheist science reading room.
Not scientists or atheists.
No. Some atheists know nothing about
Steve-o,
science.
Steve-o, where were you?
At the atheist science reading room.
I just didn't want that joke to get lost. That was a really good joke.
I'm just saying that what atheists suggest is that based on the evidence, the probability is that there is not a God. And like with anything, the probability is that what the amassed evidence shows us is true. And when other evidence presents itself, we're willing to change our beliefs.
I would say that we're rationalists and skeptics, then, I would say.
That is the scientific position. That's exactly the scientific method.
Yeah, it's just the scientific method.
I don't want to be confusing the stupid people.
they're not listening anymore.
I'm listening.
Well, you've done that by saying there's no God.
Yes,
they're
absolutely.
Already
yeah, they're gone.
Long confused.
They're currently praying for us.
I think to clarify where I'm sort of headed with this, I don't necessarily espouse the notion of an intelligence in a sort of a contriving of ideas sense. I'm not going there. That's not what I mean.
Right.
What I'm saying is that there is a spark. That's what I'm saying. There is a spark. There is something generated. There is something about the cells transferring. There's something, and it also is very scientific, and I just don't happen to be smart enough to describe it. And my sister's not here right now to explain it.
She's busy getting fisted.
Well,
is that a busy thing? Can you not do other stuff at this? I guess you can. I don't know. I've never.
Do you
been
want
fisted,
to? I mean, you finally got somebody to fist you. You want to concentrate.
It depends how much of a regular pursuit it is. Like, you know, if it's a kind of all the time thing, then you
have
wanna,
you tried it yet, Matt?
Well, can you at least check your email?
I have been fisted and able to read, but I don't always remember everything that I read afterwards.
Well, that's downright disgusting to me.
It affects your comprehension.
He's wearing a glove. Don't be a dick.
Did you say he's wearing a glove?
I
had no idea you were coming here to do this today.
Well, I think one of your subjects was coming out. I think we're going to get to that in a second. I was confused when I read it.
Listen, yeah. I like girls, and the probability is that I will continue to like girls unless other evidence presents itself.
Fortunately.
He's a girl scientist.
Fortunately, we are videotaping today, and we do have it on record that he shuddered as he said the word girls. Now, listen. One of the things that also you hear a lot that really bothers me, misnomers about atheism, is the default position that is really insidious. The minute you say that you're atheist to someone who's ardently Christian or even Muslim, I think, they think that we're satanic. They think that that's their interpretation of the word. Once again, a problem with language. They have no idea what being atheist means.
Do they think you're Satanist, or do they think that the concept is so frightening that the very approach of it sort of awakens the inner Satanist in them, if you will. You know what I mean? Like that you're challenging a belief system that they have so ingrained, and if they dare to let it go even a little bit, that they are the insecurity that comes up, so they have to sort of direct that at you.
I think there's two versions of it. Number one, that you are, unbeknownst to yourself, infected by Satan or devils or something.
Infected, and that's, I like that.
Yeah, and that's what makes you think this way. You're poisoned.
Right.
And it's an inherent part of the teaching.
Or that you were, you know, taught wrong as a child by devilish people or something.
Well, I mean, either way. I mean, it really gets down to, when you look at it literally, they think that you're possessed and influenced. And that's a major...
Right, because they are two very different things. Like, because the version where they kind of go, okay, they just kind of confuse Satanism with atheism, which is a very different
thing.
Which
is nothing, right. It's actually pretty easy to talk people out of that misbelief.
Yeah. Right, right.
Well, that one's just kind of like, I don't believe in God, I'm not going to believe in his enemy.
Right.
Yeah. Although it's like kind of going, okay, well, He-Man's fictitious, but Skeletor's real.
Quite right. Well, you've never had your house destroyed by Skeletor.
Well, now we know who's fisting you.
See, it's not a gay thing.
Yeah,
it's
phony but thin. Narrow,
I was
right?
going to say, thank God it was Skeletor. Yeah,
there's a risk. Are you worried about it snapping off?
It's not a gay thing. It's a fan
as
thing.
As a He-Man aficionado, he has a very big, strong, muscular fist. So.
Nobody is taking the Hulk fist. It just doesn't happen.
It's so big.
Yeah,
no, you wouldn't want to see me horny.
Dude, you ever like,
you
know,
like get, me when I get horny?
Get the Hulk fist in there and then just anger him that little bit more.
And now we know why they think we're infected by Satan. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available in the iTunes Store. Today's show made possible in... Hey, I already did that one. Why am I going
to
do that one?
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Ardent Atheist is sponsored in part by Audible.com. You can get a free 14-day trial to audible.com and a free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/AA. Again, that's audibletrial.com/AA. You can also find a link to audible.com
and
ardentatheist.com. I'm trying to get it done. We're talking to Matt Kirsch and Steve Oakes and Dan Dominiquez.
Say his name again.
Dominiquez.
No, say it again. Try again.
Dominiquez.
Dominique.
That's it.
Dominique. Dominique.
I
got it.
I just want to. Arriba!
What is
she
your,
said
what is
that,
your name?
She said that so Mexicanly that as she said the last syllable, a serape appeared in her.
I don't know what that is.
A cold Malta del Sol appeared in front of me.
Yes. A Malta del Sol, that yes. means a burger of Queens. As I recall.
I got a couple of emails this past week. Actually, one today and one this past week. And I want to talk about those a little bit today. Because what we're talking about here is we're talking about the trouble of coming out to your parents. Mm-hmm. And that's another topic I want to cover. And I thought to do this when I got this email from this guy in Texas.
Say no more.
Yeah, he sent me this email. Here we go. I'm not reading the whole thing. It's interesting how long the emails we get are from people. That was the worst sentence structure I've done all day.
So atheists are bad at editing.
Yeah. It's really amazing because what happens is they're really pouring out their heart. I'm stunned at how many people are sitting around quietly without anybody to talk to about this lack of belief that's plaguing them. And Ryan from Texas, he says, do you have any tips for how to approach your devoted... Why am I reading this? We have a guy with a British accent here.
Ooh.
What the hell am I thinking?
You're wasting good mic time.
So you're getting me to do the...
Here, take this.
The Texan one?
Yeah, read this.
You know, because we got a guy with a British accent who we know full well, who you know full well cannot do a Texan accent to read.
I think you should try.
You've got a guy with a Mexican accent right here, too. I'm just saying.
You do a Mexican accent?
Absolutely no.
Matt, read the letter from Ryan.
Okay, this is the letter from Ryan from Texas. So just imagine this being much more Texan. he said, do you have any tips for how to approach your devoted Christian parents and tell them you're atheist? My parents have always been understanding, but as you can imagine, this is a touchy situation, and I have no idea how they would react to this or the slightest idea of how to go about doing this. This is something that's really been clawing away at the back of my mind, and I'd really appreciate some help or any advice you have on this. Thanks, Ryan.
Well, first of all, they're going to be furious that he's British.
Yeah. Well, how is he going to explain that?
It's going to be confusing.
I got to tell you, the reason I'm here in the first place is because when I told my parents I was British, they threw me out of the house. And they're like, no son of mine. Like, now they realize they're not going to have American grandkids.
And they're Jews.
They are Jews, yes.
So
they threw it out with some gusto.
When I got that letter, I wrote back and I said, I want to talk about this, but I'd like your permission to read that first question.
And he denied it, but fuck him. Yeah.
I think you have to sit them down and have the talk. When a man loves his disbelief very much.
Yeah. I've actually got a great icebreaker way to do it with your parents. So I'm gonna employ one of you. I'm gonna start something and just whoever speaks up first, just go with it. So this is I'm playing the Texas kid.
Okay.
I don't know, can we say his name?
Yeah. Or, Ryan, yeah, sure.
It's Ryan. So I'm Ryan and Emery, you be his parent.
Okay.
His parents.
Role play.
Hey, Dad.
Yes, son. I want to play the dad.
You want to be the dad? All right, Heather, you be the dad. No, let's get real fucking complicated with this. Uh-huh.
Heather, you okay, be, and I'll be like the imaginary friend that only his dad can see.
I'll be the mom.
The silent imaginary friend. All right, okay, Emery's the mom. Okay. Heather, you're the dad.
All
ready?
Right.
Hey, guys. I have a joke. Do you guys want to hear it?
Son, yes.
Mom, do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, here it goes. Your voice lessons are really coming along, Mom.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I love your goatee. Okay, here we go. I heard it at school. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Not God. He's not real. Son, go to your room. You've hurt your mother for the last time.
Oh, it's all right, dear. It's all right, dear.
I haven't masturbated in 40 years.
It's going to be all right, son.
This is what happened.
Look what you've done. Get out.
I do want to point out that every time you come out to your parents, one or another of them will inevitably say, I haven't masturbated in 40 years.
No matter what you're coming out about.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, I'm horrified by the fact that letter needs to be written.
Why not just be disingenuous? That's what I say. Why not live a lie? Honestly, why even start?
He's 17. And
wait till you're 21. Go have your life and don't bother your parents. They're not smart people. Leave them alone.
One of the suggestions actually, they are. I talked at length with this kid.
Actually, not everybody who believes in God is an idiot.
I'm all about ridicule for ridicule's sake. But in this particular case,
what if the kid just kind of goes, "Mom, Dad, I'm gay," and then they go, "What?" And he goes, "Not really, but I am an atheist."
Oh so, my God!
I'm going to hell. I am going to hell, but you're going to get to attend a wedding first. Like, not a church wedding, but still.
I am going to hell, but not for butt fucking.
No, you start out with Mom, Dad, I'm black, then go to Mom, Dad, I'm gay. Then Mom, Dad.
He is in Texas. Well, so Ryan, there's some advice for you. one of the things I suggested was that he not do it until he's 18, until he doesn't.
If they throw his ass out, he should be ready.
Right. He convinced me that he actually described them as very reasonable people. Uh-huh. He said that they're not overly judgmental and all that. And so
then why the question?
I know, but are they intelligent?
That's the point.
But I'm wondering whether he's projecting his fears and his anxiety when he first came to it. That conclusion on them, like if he sort of just talks them through the thought process that he went to and just explains to them, look, this is how I feel. I don't know, like,
you know,
honestly, I don't want to be giving a kid horrible advice though. That's the thing.
You helped me compose the email.
I mean, Emery made a really, I think, valuable point, which is
I'm
not saying you do that all the time. Most of the time it's just sort of sad, wet flapping sound.
No, when it happens when it happens, I just want to be recognized, if I may.
Yeah, well, I mean, so Emery made a good point when he parroted what Steve said earlier. It's not true. that's how it was.
Stuck on flapping sound.
Okay, we got a show to do.
I'm sorry. I think
reset. Let's go back to one.
No, I think that if he has this instinct that there's potential trouble there, not necessarily 18, but maybe wait till he's like in college, you know, like out of the house, and that way he'll be in like sort of a safer environment from which to disclose this to these people.
Yeah, you know? I love what he said. One of the things he said was that the reason you had asked Steve-O why, he said, I respect my parents enough that I want to be honest with them, which is really neat.
That's great.
I have a feeling that Ryan's going to find out when he does sit down, whether he's 21 or whether it's tomorrow, and talk to his parents about this. I have a feeling he's going to find out that he's right about his parents and he's right about himself.
Well, I made the point to Aaron, I think you put it in the email, of like if one of their worries is that he won't have the same morality without the religion, he can point out, look, the reason why I'm telling you this is because I have a drive for truthfulness that comes from the morality that you helped to install in me.
Right.
Or instill in me. That's the right word. Installs more of a computer.
No, he's a machine. He's a living machine.
He's downloaded. That's the morality they downloaded
but,
into him.
But yeah, he can point out, look, he's still clearly a moral person. He's clearly, you know, a person who loves his parents and what.
By the way, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions on Ryan. How much do we know about him? He wrote us a letter, and now suddenly he's moral. He's
5'10".
He could be a fucking pyromaniac. He's got a good symmetrical face. We don't know anything about Ryan.
No, I'm a flame-throwing pedophile named Ryan.
Exactly.
His hobbies include ice hockey.
With
compassion and respect, morally, he doesn't want to be dishonest. That's a good point. I would say, and so, but he may well be a serial rapist too.
Yeah, exactly. On the side, Ryan.
But also, I don't know whether, like, you know, he could start telling them maybe rather than going, "Hey, I don't believe in God," like maybe start by saying, "I'm having doubts about organized religion," which is certainly the way I sort of drifted. I drifted gradually to a point of atheism by first going, "Well, religion seems a bit kind of ludicrous," and then And then the whole of it seemed kind of ludicrous.
Well, one of the things I suggested that I think you can do is, especially at 17. I mean, he's got a few years before he's off to college or I don't know, wherever, working the...
Look, let's say prison.
He's prison. He's going prison. To prison. Prison.
Another prison. Ryan's not going anywhere. That is obvious.
I suggested that he start questioning. He was worried that he's been finding ways not to have to go to church and not have to do all that. And I said, why don't you start reading the Bible? And actually interacting with your parents on a personal level.
Oh,
and,
yeah, that'll work.
And bringing up, you think this is bad?
Well, the thing is...
you point out the discrepancies. You point out the confusion. You ask them why in Leviticus does it say to...
Be ready for a battle.
I mean, here's the problem with this is we don't know, other than Ryan's description of his parents, we don't know his parents. And so if his parents are ardent Christians, they've got the whole faith thing, and they're going to probably be very resistant to his lack thereof. If they're as reasonable as he potentially says they are, then, you know,
I think if he just starts going straight at it by questioning the Bible at them, that actually is more of an aggressive stance. I think if he just first kind of says, I'm not sure I believe in this whole God thing, I'm sort of coming away from the whole, I'm not sure this is... It doesn't agree with my beliefs.
And you shouldn't stammer that much, though.
I don't know. I always put a stammer in just to kind of make myself more endearing.
I just one day told my mom I wasn't going to church anymore. Yeah. I just told her I wasn't going to church anymore. I'm like, I don't like it there.
You went through this.
Yeah, my mom... my dad was an atheist, and my mom... He didn't go to church. He stayed home. And
your mom was halfway there.
My mom was a Christian, and she... Well, Jew for Jesus. And she took me to church every... week, and I just one day said, look, I can't stand this anymore. I just cannot do this anymore. And I just said, I'm not going. You'll have to drag me. You will. And I will go and I'll stand outside. Right. I just won't. Right. You know, and she just decided to give in.
Maybe he should church then, but then stage a dirty protest.
I really didn't. I think my mom was pretty smart. My mom died pretty young, but I think she was smart. I think she saw the things that I saw. And I think that if I had been able to come to atheism sooner, I would have been, or she would have lived, I would have been able to reason with her and be like, you know, mom, you know, you're a paralegal. You deal with law and legality and facts and things like that. I mean, come on, you're smart here. Come on. Come on, ma. Come on. You know, like, really.
It didn't cause a lot of trouble with you and your mom, though, huh?
I knew there was a little bit of like, why, you know, she prayed for me and she had religious friends and they talked about it, but she didn't talk to me about that.
How did that work out?
No.
Didn't do anything, but I just didn't go. We didn't talk about it. Right. I let her be religious. She let me be myself.
Did you cut back on the fisting a little bit, though, for her?
I stopped fisting her around.
No. Oh. I wasn't going there.
I thought that's what you...
Why do we assume that's where Emery's going?
Because...
Steve-O, have you given any advice to Ryan yet?
Like I said, we don't really know Ryan. Like, we have this little tip of an iceberg.
How about the Ryans of the world? What do you think?
I actually gave advice to a young man. He's around, I guess he was around 13 when we talked about it. It was actually the inverted circumstance. My buddy and his wife sent their kid. They didn't want him in public school, so they sent him to a parochial school. They sent him to a religious school,
right?
And because they feel he'll get a better education, he won't get beat up. Honestly, I mean, that's why they sent him.
Wow.
So he's kind of a geeky kid. You know, he's a nice kid, but he's kind of a geeky kid. And the kid starts.
So
you know,
feel like rather than being beaten up, he can be abused.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But gently.
Yeah. As long as it's the adults who are doing the abuse. Like, yeah, exactly. I don't want your peers. What kind of message is that? That you can't trust people your own age?
Their fear was more verbal abuse anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Only his anus and his throat were beat up.
Exactly. But his grades were incredible. so the kid starts drinking the Kool-Aid, right?
Yeah.
And the parents are atheists.
Right.
Okay, and they just want the kid to be in a good school, the way to do it locally and inexpensively, and they're just trying to – all right. So the kid starts – you know, and I'm very close to the family. The kid starts blowing off all this Christian shit at me because he's drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And I said, do you think anybody gives a shit what you have to say? And this is sort of, in a way, where Ryan's at in a different circumstance. I said, do you think anybody gives a shit how many passages of a Bible you can memorize or how much shit you can talk and call back to some book? I said, the truth is, if you want to sit around and call yourself a Christian, and you're welcome to do so, welcome to America, have a party, perhaps you should start acting like Christ.
Yeah.
Perhaps you should be charitable. Perhaps you should be forgiving. Perhaps you should be caring. Perhaps you should do all the things that are attributed to Christ-like behavior.
Tell rich people they can't get into heaven?
Well, you know, I mean, literally, I wouldn't tell them, actually, no, because then his, you know, the gated community and all, it would be very difficult for him.
You
can't get into heaven.
Camel through an eye of a needle.
No, I'm with you. I get the quote. But anyway, the kid's a little messed up in the head. So he actually got it. And I would say as much to Ryan. I would say whether or not you're Christian is not the issue to discuss with your parents. The question is, and I think this is where we went before, it is your behavior. Right. It is your actions. Actions speak louder than words. You can talk any kind of line of shit you want, but if you're out there being a douche, you're a douche. I don't care if you're wearing a cross while you're being a douche. You're a douche.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of hanging a label on yourself. It's a question of being decent.
Well, I think you don't need any religion for morality.
I'm extremely moral, and I have no religion. Never did.
Says you. So.
Huh?
have you got my phone? He's just taken my phone.
He took your phone?
He's just stolen my phone.
Son of a bitch.
Fucking he's religious.
He's right as he said. Right
is this yours? Said. I'm sorry. Is this your phone?
He's writing a mean note down about the president.
I planned on talking about coming out to your parents because of the letter from Ryan. And then tonight, literally tonight, a few hours ago, I got a letter from, we'll call her Jay, from my hometown of Kansas City. And she wrote kind of a similar type of thing. She wanted to talk about coming out. And I'm like, wow, that is really weird. And actually made me realize, and I'm just telling everybody here today for the first time in my life, there must be a God. I mean, for that to happen.
What?
So
finally, proof.
The end of Dissident Radio.
No, it's just the radio station continues. It's just our atheist that went.
Conflicted atheist. We'll be back.
Conflicted atheist next week.
We were right there angry.
But it was really a neat coincidence that I got these two letters in this way. And so anyway, she says, I really related to one of your – I can't even – what am I doing? Why would I read this? We have a girl in the room and a guy who has an accent. So let's hear Matt read it.
but read it like a girl.
Right.
He does agree. He can't do an American accent or a Southern accent. What,
no, I think I can do a girl's accent.
But it'll be a British girl?
But in a guy's voice.
So it's a girl's cadence.
Yeah. But it's a British guy's voice.
I see. You're going to make it
but
sound.
But it'll convey the concept of a girl.
Read the fucking letter.
Okay. So, I really related to one of your guests who told a story about coming out and being terrified to tell people. I sometimes call myself agnostic because I think it sounds less scary, to me included, than atheist. I'm also fond of the secular humanist term. I think she means like the term secular humanist rather than just like, you know, the term at school, like the semester.
wait, hold on. Don't put
secular
words
humorous
in her
term is, I believe, 8 months.
Yeah, exactly. Just a bit quicker, just less nonsense to get through.
My husband,
he's Catholic, and my closest friends know my thoughts. But even I have residual fears about what if I'm wrong. And sometimes, for example, a friend just died. I want someone to pray to. I think in some ways I want to believe, but it's not logical to me. I wish there are people who I could talk to this about, but it's not like there are buildings we meet in every Sunday.
Nice, Jay. Nice.
And that's Jay from Kansas City.
Right. First of all, there are people you can go talk to. There are groups. I was working on a film in Kansas City for a couple of years. I would fly in every few weeks and work on this film. And when I in the evenings, I would go to the various meetings that are held in Kansas City for secularists, humanists, and atheists. And got to know a bunch of people there. So there are a lot of people that you can go talk to, Jay. And you should. You should get on the internet. You should find the atheist groups. And I know some people say, in fact, New Dissident Radio is run by Johnny Damm. And he and when I talk to him about getting together and like going to conventions and things, he always just laughs at me and he goes, "That's why I'm not a fucking believer. I don't have to go to church."
But you should specify like atheist conventions because he's kind of picturing Star Trek costumes and stuff like that. You know,
I need to be more specific so he understands like, that it's not.
Don't just dress up.
There are no atheists. No atheists on the bridge, my friend.
Another great joke. Another great joke. No atheists on the bridge.
Are you writing that? am I going to be in the book?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
So, what advice do we have for Jay?
I went and did a comedy gig. Oh, where did I go? It's a little town called Visalia, and we spent the night.
What
and,
state?
California.
Okay. Yeah,
California,
yeah.
Visalia, and the next morning on Sunday we were taken to an atheist brunch. Oh. Where a bunch of different atheists in the town would gather every Sunday, have this huge, amazing breakfast, bring their kids, and just have a great time, you know, just kind of being atheists together. And I think that's awesome to do it from the perspective of just sort of like, you know, saying it's like an atheist thing. But really, just having it be a place where you can just share and hang out like people, which is kind of the point to begin with.
Well, this is the reason that we should have groups, atheists, so that you don't feel so alone, and you can you can find people who need to talk about what they think, what they don't want to believe, that sort of thing.
And
you
with
know,
the
oh, I'm sorry, but you know what? You know what's interesting is socially in my life. Just speaking of for myself, I was raised with no religion. I don't think I have any, like, when it comes to coming out or something. I have no friends. None of my friends, I think, have any kind of Judeo-Christian God belief. I was raised in Long Island.
Okay.
But like, there was, I mean, I imagine people around me were religious when I came up.
Yeah, you were surrounded by Catholics.
Catholic, absolutely. Irish and Italian. And
but, Jews.
And Jews. Right. Right in
my my!
but I was so raised without religion and have so surrounded myself with people who are non-religious in any way that the very notion of coming out, the very idea that there's pushback against not having any beliefs is kind of alien to me. It seems like, so I wish there was some way to sort of instill that in people like Jay and just go, that's, you know,
it's okay.
There is no opposition to that.
Right,
you just, it's your brain.
I guess if you grew up somewhere where the community is so based around church or
in Kansas City, it doesn't get any more belt buckle on the
right.
Because that's the thing. Because in certain, particularly in small towns, the church is the center of the community and it's the center of the social life, and it's where people kind of go to meet up and they find out things about what's happening in the town and
meet each other's wives.
Yeah. And, you know, put the car keys
How
in
are
the
you
center
spelling
and
meet?
Get. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what church is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I've never been to one, but, you know.
No, have you ever been to a synagogue? Did you do any of the Jewish
I don't have
stuff?
A wife to share. But, like, the second I get a wife, obviously I'll go and then, you know, chuck her in and trade up.
Wow. Can I just say, worst Craigslist ad ever.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode brought to you in part by independent author Frank Albritton. You can download Frank's new book, Ambitious Man Microwave Dinner, onto your Kindle from Amazon.com. And his first book, The Cricket Chirp Doom, is also available at Lulu.com and Amazon.com. And today's guests are also made possible by Philip Microphone, inventor of the napkin. When you think napkin, think microphone. We're talking to Matt Kirshen, Steve Oakes, and Dan Dominguez. You know who wrote that joke? A buddy of mine, Mark Hawkins, is a really funny writer. And I said, I do these bits once in a while in the commercial spots. And he sent me 20, and that was one of them. He's so fucking great. Thanks, Mark. I think that it's really sad that there are people sitting all around the world, all around the country, but all around the world too, really don't think that there's any kind of a way to have community with people who think in this way.
Well, with the advent of the interweb, I mean, really, remember AOL?
Yeah.
They had chat rooms for everything.
Right.
And now it's just even bigger. It's just, you can go on Facebook, and there's actually even thinkatheist.com is like a place where atheists can go. Atheist Nexus is like, it's a Facebook.
Well, there you go right there, Jay. Go to those two places, thinkatheist.com.
Atheist Nexus.
Right.
Two places where there's tons of people that can relate to you, and just get on Facebook and look for every atheist page that you can find. Trust me, you'll find tons of people you can relate to. Come to my page. You know, we'll chat.
Or talk to almost any college teacher or artist in the history of the world. And chances are they will not believe in God.
Read lots of books.
If you need to justify your morality and your atheism at the same time, I had a couple of religious people Jehovah's Witnesses at the door, and they were very shocked to find. They said, "Well, you know, do you believe in God?" And I said, "No, I don't believe in God." And they said, "I mean, they were really taken aback." I live in Simi Valley, which is we like to call it Kansas West.
Was that a rhetorical question they were asking?
No, it was seriously. Yeah, it was actually. In essence, it was. It was basically saying we would prefer you believed in our God over the one that you currently believe in.
Let me skew you slightly in one direction.
Exactly.
Do you like pasta? Well, let me tell you about our restaurant.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Do you like the long stuff? Because we got shells. It's the same
It's like when someone tells you to vote. They want you to vote for their guy.
Right, do you vote doesn't mean do you vote anywhere. Do you vote
do you
for
vote
this?
Yeah,
it's not do you like pasta. It's can you only like pasta?
So what
do you think a pastor watches you masturbate?
That would be pastor. So I say to these two guys, they literally they look like the touring cast of Book of Mormon. They're at my door, you know. Yeah. I say, no, I don't believe in God. And they were flabbergasted. They will say, well, they basically, I forgot how they phrased it, but they asked me how I knew right from wrong, in essence.
Wow.
And I
they
said,
believe that.
Yeah, I know. And I said, what I said was, I said, well, it's interesting. I said, what do you know?
Yeah.
What do you know? You tell
one
me.
And I covered to the other one's wife.
You tell me what you know, and I'll give you back your phone. What I said to him was, let me tell you why I'm actually arguably more moral than you are. Mm-hmm. Because if I fuck up, nobody's going to forgive me. It's on me. It's my conscience. It's my actions, my responsibility.
Nowhere to
pray.
Matt and I were talking about this the other day.
I genuinely don't believe it's possible to be a truly moral person if you're religious.
I completely
agree.
Exactly. If you're in a store and there's unattended goods and you don't steal it, if you're not stealing it because you're afraid there's a security camera trained on you, that's not a moral choice.
No.
If you don't steal it because you genuinely think you shouldn't steal because you empathize with a shop owner and you think stealing is against your ethical code, that's a moral decision.
Right.
And like if you believe there is always a security camera trained on you, like a permanent celestial security camera, that's watching your moves and punishing you when you do well and rewarding you when you do good.
You're just
you don't have true morality.
Pussy. That's basically
you
are.
What you really are is simply oppressed.
And you
that's
definitely
all
don't.
All that is.
You're just scared.
He's saying it right. You're not moral. You're a coward.
Right.
And you don't have free will.
And the flip side of that is obviously if you believe that when you do good things there's a heaven, well then you're just doing it for a reward. It's the moral equivalent of
denied.
A mouse with a pellet.
You're God's dog.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, any god that
or like doing a charity gig because you reckon there's going to be good agents there.
Any god that gives you free will and then demands that you not use it has given you nothing.
Right.
Because that's really what the equation is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot use your free will.
Right.
So
not if there's a rule book.
There's also that it's sort of this weird implication of like if you can't have morality without religion, that like all babies are secretly like going around the world murdering and raping everyone while we're
because they don't know yet.
Well, they don't know yet.
Born with original sin, honey.
That would be a
they're
good
sinners
way to
from
off
the
a
womb.
Rape.
Yeah. I love just saying womb. I'm just gonna say it one more time. Womb.
That's another nightmare. The whole original sin.
That's
thing.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all being punished because of these two fictional characters that did this thing that couldn't possibly have fucking happened.
And by the way, how can it be original if they did? It's plagiarized sin.
Plagiarized?
Yeah, it's just because there was an original sin.
Holy fuck, I never realized that's not the right
everybody else's sin.
How the fuck could they have sinned? They didn't know any better.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. They didn't have the information.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I didn't know it was illegal to shit in Macy's.
I don't believe it's illegal.
Well, what department?
Oddly enough, the shit department. I know
of they got places.
Everything.
In
I know they have everything.
That's all of Macy's. Yeah.
Have you ever heard this thing? Real fast. Have you ever heard this thing where people think that you know God is going to let everybody know in the end? Everyone will know somehow. Somehow, you know, technology will reach them, and even the people, the Bushmen in Africa, will know about the Lord. You
Heather
know
asked a guy on the wall one day, "What about these kids that are going to die in Africa who've never been exposed?"
Right.
And he actually said to her, do you remember what he said?
Yeah, he's like, well, the internet will get to him. So they have televisions. They have, you know, there will be a way that technology will reach them.
Is there Wi-Fi in the afterlife?
Right.
Because these kids are gone.
They've
That's
got
over.
People climbing mountains going to hand Bibles to people to say, you know, it's just really terrible.
Well, anything that gets them out of the house.
Right.
Yeah. It's like golf. They don't enjoy it, but it kind of.
Right.
Christian could be real wallflowers. You definitely got to get them out there and have some fun.
All right, we're going to wrap up, but I want to ask, you're doing a show.
Yes.
I went and saw that show. It was fucking phenomenal.
Thank you very much. It's very nice of you to say. May I plug it?
Yes.
Thank you. Steve Oakes doing Life in the Middle Ages at the Asylum Theater.
You're in the Fringe Festival, right?
I'm part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. I think I have 5 more shows during the fest. We expect to run for a while longer. Look for us at HollywoodFringe.com, like the Middle Ages. By the way, we've got like a whole the press are actually responding great to this thing.
You know,
oh,
you're
man,
making
really
people cry at the end, left and fucking right. That's insidious.
I'm taking them
you.
Down. I'm taking
hate
them down.
You.
It was really great. I literally was filled with tears and laughing my ass off. To me, the best entertainment is when you're laughing through tears. I mean, it's really wonderful.
So that's why you like fisting?
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
Again with the fisting.
Fisting is the only time I don't cry.
Ha 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 ha!
I don't know.
There must be something just shutting off the tear ducts inside.
Yeah, man. He reaches so far in, he grabs my tear ducts and holds them very tight.
Well, I want to thank all of my guests for being here today. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Find us on the internet.
Yes.
Buy our albums.
Buy our albums.
I want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and New Dissident Radio. That's it for episode 18. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Today's music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. We also want to thank our Facebook publicist, Cameron Winters, even though he was unavailable to publicize us today due to a previous engagement with his hand.
Tune in next week when our guests will be Laura Silverman, Gary Shapiro, the Cantor, and recovered Orthodox Jew B.J. Kramer. He's actually flying in to do the show because he's fan of the show, and he's wonderful. We'll be discussing what makes those fucking Jews so chosen. And don't forget to go download the new book, Ambitious Man: Microwave Dinner by Frank Albritton, for your Kindle from Amazon.com or Lulu.com, and his first book, The Cricket Chirped Doom. And you've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
And
thanks,
fisting,
guys.
Fisting.
We're just out on fisting?
Hi, it's Jake Johansson, and you're listening to The Angry Atheists. What?
It's ardent.
Well, right, but I did the show, so I know what it is. It's angry. They're angry.
New Dissident Radio. On the interweb.